There's a very, very deep in the Shviras Haluchos. I mean, it's a hard parsha. There's a lot. It's a long parsha, 139 psukim, I believe. And it's a hard parsha. It's a hard parsha because you have to deal with Chet Egal. It's a parsha of mistakes. It's a parsha of tshuva. It's a parsha of learning to develop a language of talking to Hashem. It's a big theme in our parsha. So the pasuk says that Vayitena Moshe Kechala Solid Aberito. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu finished speaking to Moshe at Har Sinai, he gave to him Vayitena Moshe. What did Hashem give Moshe? Shnei Luchos Ha'edus. Hashem gave him the two tablets of testimony. Luchos Evan Ksuvim Be'etzpe Lukim. Luchos Evan, tablets of stone, written with the finger of Hashem. Okay, so we're going to focus on those words that when Hashem finished speaking to Moshe, he gave him Shnei Luchos Ha'edus. Of course, Rashi points out that the word Luchos is spelled Luchas, to teach us that the two tablets are equal, they were alike, both in their shape and their design, but also, obviously, you know, the Ben Adam La Makom and the Ben Adam La Chavero balance of the Luchos is also very important. Okay, let's see. Shnei Luchos Ha'edus. Says our Rebbe, let's take a look. B'medrash, Lama Shanayim, Neged Shemayim Va'aretz. Why two Luchos? We believe in one Torah, we believe in one God. I was just learning the Maharal the other night with some of the Chevra from the Shul, and the Maharal was talking about how we believe in one God, we believe in one Torah, we believe in one Kohen Gadol. Right? Korach said, why can't we all be Kohanim Gadolim? It doesn't work like that. So we're a people of one. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So Lama Shnayim? Why do you have two luchos? Neged Shamayim Varetz, representing heaven and earth. Neged Chasan Ukala, corresponding to a Chasan and his Kala, a groom and his bride. Neged Shnei Shoshvinim, corresponding to the two Shoshvinim. Now Shoshvinim might be the like the friends of the Chasan, the groomsmen or the bridesmaid. Okay, but we have pairs, right? We have pairs. We have Shemayim and Aretz, we have a Chasan and Kala, we have two dear friends. Okay. Hine gilu lanu rabosenu hasod, shekosav haraya mehemna parshas tetzai. There's an unbelievable secret in the Raya Mehemna, which is a section of the Zohar, which is part of the Zohar Kadosh. The Zohar tells us something which I had never seen before until I learned this piece. Really an amazing idea. What is Shviras Haluchos? What was the breaking of the Luchos? So, Chavon, let me ask it differently. What was Har Sinai? What was Kabbalah Satorah? Kabbalah Satorah, of course, you know, was a wedding. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put a chuppah over our head. Kafaleim Har Kegigis. Hashem suspended the mountain overhead. That was the chuppah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Kona Klal Yisrael with Kesef, with Shtar, and even with Bia, as we were talking yesterday. And Isha Niknes B'Kesef, Shtar, and Bia. Hashem gave us money on the way out of Mitzrayim. He gave us the Shtar of Kabbalah Satorah, that's the document, and the Bia, the intimacy, is what? V'shachanti b'socham, of dwelling together. V'shachanti b'socham, literally dwelling inside one another, having a very intimate and close relationship. But the Zohar reveals to us an amazing thing. The Zohar says that Shviras Haluchos hayu kechasan ditavar b'sulim dilei. Shviras Haluchos, the breaking of the Luchos, is similar to the process of a man and his beloved being intimate for the first time, right? And when the woman loses her virginity, right? So there's a process of tavar besulim, of breaking the besulim, right? There's a membrane; it's part of the woman's anatomy. The hymen is ruptured, so the breaking of the luchos, in many ways, is the breaking. It's a super intense idea, very, very intense idea. The breaking of the luchos is somehow the loss, losing our virginity. Tavar besulim, the breaking, the removal of the signs of virginity. That the chasan, when he's intimate with the kala, the first time, right? That's why there are very sensitive halachos regarding the night of the wedding, right? That the woman will likely see blood through the process of that intimacy. Okay, when you take chasan classes, you'll learn more about it. You're probably scarred enough just from this one line of the Zohar. So he says, well, what does that mean? Right? Meaning, on the one hand, we think of Shviras Haluchos as an utter failure. Shiras Haluchos, the smashing of the Luchos, is because we weren't worthy of receiving the Luchos. Yet at the same time, you know, the anxieties and the nervousness and the uncertainties that come with the Chas and Kala consummating the marriage, right? But also the excitement that comes with that is actually a very positive thing, even though it's a complicated thing. But he says, we know from various sources that Nishmas Yisrael lo chatu, that Cheta Egel, whatever we think Cheta Egel was, it wasn't exactly that. It wasn't a simple act of Avodah Zarah. It wasn't Klal Yisrael simply rebelling against Hashem. It didn't really make sense that they should do such an Avera based on their relationship with Hashem. Moshe's a little late to come down from our Sinai. Next thing you know, they're building a golden calf. It's a very, very deep, deep and mysterious part of the Torah. So much so that, again, that Chazal tell us, and we know from many sources, that Nishmos Yisrael lo chatu, that the Jewish people, on an essential level, they didn't really sin by Cheta Egel. Umeforesh Amru B'Gemara, the Gemara tells us explicitly, some of us learned it before, Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Dalet Amud Beis, Lo Hayu Yisrael Re'uyin La'osa Maisa, Ela Kedei Lahoros Tshuva. The Jewish people really should never have gotten involved with Cheta Egel. How did it happen? Lahoros Tshuva. To teach us what? To teach us the possibility, the process of Tshuva. That Klal Yisrael could mess up in such a significant way, and Hashem is ready to destroy us. Again, it's not a comfortable parsha to read this week, but Moshe renegotiates, and Klal Yisrael do tshuva, and everything works out beautifully. Umatzino b'gemara, the Gemara tells us in Ksubis, Shahayu miyachdim chosan v'kala be'edim. We were talking about this mamish yesterday in Gemara. That they were miyached the chosan and kala with edim. Now, what does that mean? What do we do today? When a chosan and a kala go from the chuppah to the yichud room, right? So we have Eide Yichud. Usually it's two friends of the chassan, and they stand as guard outside the yichud room to make sure that the chassan and kala have a true period of time of seclusion, right? To the amount of time that in theory it would take for them to commit an act of bia. Obviously, chassan and kala don't actually have bia in the yichud room, in case anyone's not sure about that. That's not a normal thing. No one does that. Right? But the chassan and kala are alone together in the yichud room for a period of time that sort of highlights the privacy, the intimacy of their marriage. But what's a little strange is that everyone knows that they're being, you know, alone together, right? Everyone knows that they're having these moments of private, intimate moments together, of chassan and kala. The Gemara even has an expression in one place in Shas that everybody knows what happens after the wedding. But woe to the person who talks about it, right? Everyone knows that the chassan and kala are going to spend the night together. Everyone knows that. Everyone's aware of that. It's not a secret. And yet, it's also a secret, right? It's very private. So how do we strike that balance between, on the one hand, you know, we've sort of institutionalized, obviously, that the chassan and kala, right, will commit to being together on the night of to consummate the marriage on the night of the wedding. And at the same time, we have Edim who are watching them enter into that place of seclusion. Isn't that a terrible breach of tznius? How does that work? V'hagam she'achshav ein ha'yichud be'edim, and even though the yichud itself nowadays is not with Edim, I'm not sure exactly what he means by that. Im kol zeh ikar ha'yichud ha'rishon v'hazivug hu ha'yidei shoshvinim uverov am v'hu b'farhesia u'misham ve'elach hu behester. In other words, what he's saying is that everyone knows, you make a big wedding, you get married, everyone knows, you're basically announcing to the world, hi, now we're going to start sleeping together starting tonight. Now we're going to have an intimate relationship starting tonight. So where is the tznius in that? Isn't that a terrible breach of privacy? So how does that work? V'gam eis tfila mechuyeves lahastir. We know that when a woman goes to the mikvah, it's a very private matter. Right? The time of her tefillah is supposed to remain hidden. It's supposed to be a secret. She's supposed to do it in a way that people in the neighborhood don't know. Oh, she's going to the mikvah tonight. It's a breach of tzniyas, as we find in Shulchan Aruch, in Yoredeya Kof Tzadichas. So what exactly happened? We have like this very, you know, open display of Kabbalah Satorah, which is the marriage between Klal Yisrael and Hashem. And now we're saying the Shviras Haluchos is somehow the removal of the signs of virginity. It's a very, and it's such a public display. In other words, the Kashrut Tzar Maggid is trying to figure out what exactly needs to take place publicly, what should take place in a marriage, in a relationship privately, and how does that manifest itself in terms of our relationship with Hashem? And how does that manifest itself in terms of what? In terms of Luchos Rishonos and Luchos Shneos. What were the first Luchos that were given publicly and then were shattered? And what's with the second Luchos that are very private? So he says something again. I'm just introducing you to the idea. It's a very deep thing what he's writing here, but a lot to think about. Va'inyan hu yadua, our Rebbe explains, it can be understood as follows. Amru Chazal, the Gemara tells us. It's a Gemara in Yuvam Islam Adalid. She'ein Isha Misaberes Mebia Rishona. It is uncommon, I wouldn't say it's impossible, because it may not be biologically impossible, but it is uncommon, it is unlikely that a woman becomes pregnant, that she becomes impregnated from the Bia Rishona, from the first act of intimacy. Vileze lo ichbas lan hafarhasya. And therefore, we're not so troubled by the fact that what? We're not so troubled by the fact that everyone knows that there's a certain public element to the making of the marriage. Masha ein kein achrei kein shayichad hu sheyavol lidei leida. But afterwards, when the husband and wife will be intimate with each other, they'll be able to, God willing, bring children into the world. Asarach lios betznea. So that requires, as the halacha told us, a woman going to the mikvah is a very private matter. That requires tremendous privacy because a child is going to be born into the world. Now, there's a few different ways we could say it. I'm not sure. I'll be honest, Chava. I don't know exactly what the Kashrut Tzar Maggid is saying. Is it that what? Is it that when a woman becomes pregnant, so therefore it's understood how she became pregnant? So there's no indication that anything happened per se. So that can be a little bit more known because it itself is hidden. Is it when a person is trying to bring an idea down into the world, or more than an idea, a child down into the world? So because a person is trying to, you know, create something, so that requires tznius, that requires humility, that requires laying low to avoid ayin hara. I don't know exactly how to present it. But I'm sharing this piece with you because it's fascinating to think about Luchos Rishonos and Luchos Shneos representing sort of these two parts to our relationship with Hashem, two stages of a married life. Alkein Luchos Rishonos, Hayu Befarhesya. The first Luchos, which is sort of our first time with Hashem, of getting to know Hashem, that's our wedding, right? It was able to be given Befarhesya. It was able to be done in a way of greater openness. And it's understood. It's understood what it was. And as we explained in the Zohar, there's an element of the Shviras Haluchos as what? As the breaking of the Besulim. Masha ein kein beluchos shnios, but with regard to the second Luchos, everything had to be done very quietly. Second Luchos were not given with kolos ubrakim, right? The wedding at Har Sinai was shofros, there was a good band, and there was a good light guy, right? There was lights, there were sounds. It was very intense. It was very public. But there was something lacking in that. There's something lacking in that public display. It's dafka afterwards, so to speak, in the Luchos Shnios, which are the more private Luchos, that now you're able to really start building a bias together. Again, I'm alluding to certain things. I'm saying certain things. I'm also not understanding certain things. There's a lot that's being hinted to here. But he quotes the Medrash, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ein Lecha Yafa Min Atznius. There's nothing more beautiful than Tznius. So so why did you give the first Luchos with such publicity? And the answer is a lot of answers. Right? But based on what we're sort of explaining now, there's an element to a marriage which is surprisingly public. And yet, there's an understanding that the real building of a marriage is going to take place primarily in the privacy of the space of the chasen and kala. Okay, all right. It's a deep idea. Again, take it or leave it. File it away. Think about it a little bit more. Try to use it to understand your own relationships. Use it to understand the ups and downs of one's relationship with Hashem. Use it to prepare yourself in Mirtz Hashem. You should be zochet to get married in the right time, and to understand the delicate nature of the public and private nature of a marriage. Okay, good. Let's go weiter. Moshe Rabbeinu is told that Klal Yisrael are going to be destroyed. And Moshe Rabbeinu puts up quite a fight. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, you know, I'm willing to negotiate. And the Torah says that Moshe spoke to Hashem panim al panim. Moshe spoke to Hashem face to face, like a person, kasher yedaber ishal re'eyu, like a person speaks to his friend. And he negotiates the salvation of Klal Yisrael. And then Moshe says, in the fourth Aliyah of this week's Parsha, Moshe says, Hashem, I want to get to know you better. I want to see you. He says, Hareini nas kvodecha. Hashem, please, in Perek Lamed Gimel, Hashem, please, show me your glory. And Hashem responds, listen carefully, and this is part of the quote that we're about to see on the screen. Vayomer, ani a'avir kol tuvi al panecha, I will show all of my goodness before you. V'karasi b'shem Hashem, and you call out with the divine name, lifanecha, before you. Now listen, v'chanosi es asher achon, v'richamti es asher arachem. And v'chanosi es asher achon, Rashi explains, I will be kind at those times that I wish to be kind, v'richamti es asher arachem, and I'll be merciful when I wish to be merciful. Interesting thing, what's Hashem saying? I'll always be merciful. And the next Rashi says, but by the way, Hashem, I thought you promised that whenever we, you know, use the Midos Shel Rachamim, you'll always answer us. And yet here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, well, I'll be kind when I want to be kind, and I'll be merciful when I want to be merciful. You're not going to see my face, you'll see my back. Okay, you know, the strange, whatever Moshe saw in that moment, standing by that crevice of the rock. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, again, a famous expression, V'chanosi es asher achon. I will be kind, according to Rashi, osan pa'amim she'ertze lachon, whenever I want to be kind. Sometimes I'll be kind, sometimes maybe I won't be kind. I'll be kind when I'll be kind, and I'll be merciful when I'm merciful. And Hashem is saying, you're going to see my back. You won't understand. You won't understand that really, and I think that's really the secret of what Rashi's telling us, the next Rashi, that what? That, of course Hashem is always kind. Of course Hashem is always merciful. From your perception, which is backwards, you're not going to see the full picture of Hashem. It's going to look like sometimes I'm being kind, sometimes I'm being merciful, sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I'm being a mean and tough and demanding God. But nonetheless, you should know, Hashem is telling us that really, Hinei Anochi Koreis Bris, like Rashi quotes the other pasuk. We have a deal that whenever you call out to me, of course I'm going to listen. From your perspective, it'll look sometimes that sometimes I'm merciful, sometimes I'm kind, and sometimes I'm not. Okay? I think that's a decent presentation just of the pasuk and Rashi. Says our Rebbe, says the Avodas Yisrael, B'medrash Rabba, B'osa Shah Heralo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kol Otros. It was at that moment that Hashem showed to Moshe all of his Otros, all of his treasures, right? An Otzer is a storage, a warehouse. Hashem showed Moshe all of the gifts that he has ready to dispense. So Moshe says, V'amar Otzer Zeh Shel Mi. Moshe says, what is it? Who's this for? Whoa, you got a lot of good prizes here, Hashem. What are you going to do with all them? V'amr lo shel osei mitzvos. This is the schar for those who do mitzvos. Wow. Moshe continued to look around. Amr lo, and then Hashem said to him, achar kach ra otzer gadol. And then Moshe saw an even bigger storage house. And Moshe said, whoa, what's that for? It must be for like the biggest tzaddik. Chaver, this is such a beautiful medrash. Listen. Amalei, Hashem said to him, "Lemi sheyeshlo ani lo sein lo mischaro." To the one who's earned it, I will give him in accordance with his reward. He'll get his schar. "Umi she'ein lo ani osa lo chinam." Wow. But the person who unfortunately doesn't have, Hashem says, "Trust me, I've got a big storage house of gifts for those people who are poor, who are spiritually impoverished." It's known, chaver, as the Otzer Matnas Chinam. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a sense, Hashem's biggest treasure house. Because let's be honest, how much do any of us truly earn anything? So it's mostly free gifts. Umi she'ein lo, ani nosein lo b'chinan. Whoever doesn't have, I give them for free. V'nosein lo mizeh. And I give him from this place. Says the Medrash, v'zeh v'chanosi es asher achon, l'mi she'ani mevakesh lachon. Ad kan. This is what it means, v'chanosi asher achon, I'll be kind to those who I choose to be kind to, says the Medrash, l'mi she'ani mevakesh lachon, to the one who I want to be kind to the one who needs help, to the person who's struggling, I'll be more generous, and I'll give him a nicer gift. I'll give him a handout, I'll help to provide for him. I'll give him some tzedakah, I'll have some rachmanis on him. Okay? Now, Hine ksiv a'avir kol tuvi. The pasuk said what? What was the beginning of the pasuk? Hashem says to Moshe, when Moshe says, Hareini nas kvodecha, I want to get to know you. So Hashem says, Ani a'avir kol tuvi. Ani a'avir kol tuvi. I will show you all of my attributes of goodness. Kol tuvi. I'll show you all the good things. The Chazal explain, Ein tuv adam ela bebeso. The tuv of a person is where? Is in his house. The place that a person experiences tuv, the place that a person feels, right, when a person travels, sometimes there comes with a lot of anxieties. The tuv of life, a person likes to be home. It's nice to be home. What does that mean? What is Hashem saying? I will display for you kol tuvi. And the tuv of a person takes place in their bias. What does that mean? Bias romes lemakabel. What's a bias? A bias is probably the biggest kli that you own. Right? What does that mean? What is a kli? A kli is a vessel. A vessel contains things within it. So you might have a big mixing bowl. You might have a big salad bowl that sometimes you bring out on Shabbos, especially when you have guests. Yeah? You may have some large kalim. You may have a dresser that has a deep drawer that you keep a lot of clothing in. But the biggest kli, the biggest vessel that contains the most stuff is your house. Even if you don't live in a big house. Right? It contains the people of the house. It contains the things of the house. So the bias is what? The very concept of a bias is a makabel. It's a kli. A bias is a makabel. V'hainu shenosein l'kol echad kafi achanaso b'avodas Hashem. But what that means is, ein tuv adam ela bebeso. What does it mean, ein tuv adam ela bebeso? What does this expression mean, ein tuv adam ela bebeso? It means, to the degree that a person has a kli, he's able to receive. Hainu shenosein l'kol echad kafi achanaso b'avodas Hashem. The more you make yourself a kli to receive, the more you'll receive. And that's what it means. Otzer zeshalmi. Who does this storage house belong to? Who does it go to? Shall osei mitzvos. To those who do mitzvos. Umi she'ein lo ani osei lo chinam. But the one who doesn't have, I give him for free. What does that mean? Hainu. Shehabore yisbarach nosin lo midas chanina v'rachmanas. She is nahig ha'odam atzmo b'midas rachamim v'chesed l'ischasedim kono. Va'al yedei zeh nosin lo me'otzer ma'nas chinam shu otzer gadol. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? If you know how to be a kind person, a good person, if you know how to make yourself into a kli, if you're an osei mitzvos, if you're in that category, so then you've earned it. But if not, I'll give it to you for free. Give you what for free? It's not that Hashem is going to give you just gifts for free. Hashem will give you these midos for free. Look at the words again. Hainu shahabore yisbarach nosin lo midas chanina v'rachmanis. She is naiga adam atzmo v'midas rachamim v'chesed l'ischasedim kono. Hashem will place within your heart, right? He'll inspire you to want to act towards Hashem with these midos. And then, midah keneged midah, al yedei zeh, nosin lo me'otzer matnas chinam. In other words, and it'll become more clear when we see one of the pieces on Parshas Parah, and it's an idea we've seen in the past, right? The recognition that what? That even the avodas Hashem that I have is from Hashem. So when it says Hashem will give you for free, there's people who do mitzvos and earn the reward, that they're self-motivated to do mitzvos, but sometimes a Kadosh Baruch Hu needs to help a person to acquire the midos that Hashem wants a person to have. So therefore, a Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I will lend you, I'll give you for free, the midah of rachamim and chesed, lis chesed imkono, so that you could act with chesed towards your creator. And then midah keneged midah, then you'll receive, you know, so to speak, the reward, because you'll have done the performance of mitzvos. And that's what the Gemara tells us, Kamo Sha'amu. This is similar to what the Gemara explains in Shabbos on the Pasuk. Pasuk says, V'nosan lecha rachamim, v'al yedei zeh v'richamecha. V'nosan lecha rachamim, I will give you rachamim. It doesn't just mean that Hashem will have mercy on us. Hashem will inspire us to act with rachamim. And then, when we act that way, then richamecha, then Hashem can act towards us in that way. So sometimes we have to realize, not sometimes, all the time we have to realize, every one of us, even the tzaddikim, as we learn in Parshas Ve'eschanan, every tzaddik world feels a sense of what? I'm living off of the Otzer Matnas Chinam. I've never really earned anything in this world. And even my Avodas Hashem comes from you. you've lent me the money that I've invested to be able to make more money, right? Hashem, you're basically the one who's working behind the scenes, pushing me in the proper path, helping me to make the right choices, and then, oh look, wow, things are really working out for you. Look how successful you are. But Hashem is doing the whole thing. Hashem is guiding you every step of the way. And that's true tzaddikim say that we only live from the Otzer Matnas Chinam. I claim that I've ever truly earned it. But that's what's partially hinted to here in this pasuk. Hashem says what? Hashem says that I will be merciful to the one who I am merciful. Ani avir kol tuvi al panecha v'karasi b'shem Hashem v'fanecha v'chanosi es asher achon. I will have kindness towards the one who I've inspired to act with kindness. And that's something we have to realize, that Hashem is helping us to become our best selves. Okay, let's go to Parshas Parah. There's a lot. Of course, the Shabbos, in addition to Parshas Kisisa, we have the special Parshas Parah. We read the first 22 psukim from Parshas Chukas, which talks about the Parah Aduma. Okay, so let's take a look. Let's start with something that's going to lead us into today's Gemara Shir, which is going to be a discussion about whether or not hearing Kriyas HaTorah the Shabbos is Midoraisa. We know that Parshas Zachar, we spent some time learning it, Parshas Zachar is a mitzvah d'oraisa, to hear Parshas Zachar. What about Parshas Parah? If you look in the Shulchan Aruch says, in Simin Tov Reish Peh Hei, that Yesh Omrim, some say, that there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to read Parshas Parah. So everyone's trying to figure out, and we'll talk about that in Shir today, right? What is the source that Parshas Parah is d'oraisa? So you'll see the last source on today's Maya Makomos sheet comes from our Rebbe, the Avodas Yisrael. But we'll do it now, and then we'll do it again. Vayedaber Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Zois Chukas HaTorah Asher Tziva Hashem Leimor. How does Parshas Parah begin? How does Parshas Chukas begin? Right, Zois Chukas HaTorah. This is the ultimate chok of the entire Torah. It's the ultimate chok. Asher Tziva Hashem Leimor, which Hashem has commanded you, saying, Daber Abnei Yisrael V'yikhoi Lecha Parah Aduma Tamima. Take a perfectly complete Parah Aduma, perfectly red heifer. Asher ein b'mum, asher lo ala ala ol. Right, that has never been used. It's not a work animal. It's unblemished. It's never been used to work in the field. And give it to a Lazar HaKohen, and he'll shecht it, and he'll turn it into ashes, and he'll sprinkle it and purify people. So says the Kashrut Zer Magid, says our Rebbe, take a look, chevra. Vayedaber Hashem, Hashem spoke to Moshe and to Aaron, and said, Zos chukas haTorah asher tziva Hashem leimor. This is the ultimate chok of the Torah that is being commanded to you, saying, and Hashem said, Nira lefarish milas lemor. What's the lemor? Zos chukas haTorah asher tziva Hashem lemor. This is the rule of the Torah which Hashem commanded you to say. In other words, lemor to the people. That's what lemor always means. Moshe and Aaron are being told to tell it to Klal Yisrael. But says the Kashrut Zer Magid, I think that perhaps this word lemor, Mora Kedas HaOmrim, goes in accordance with those who claim Sheparshas Parah Midoraisa. That reading about the Parah Aduma, this Shabbos, is a mitzvah d'oraisa. V'lizeba haremez b'torah. Asher tziva Hashem lemor. Hashem commanded you what? Lemor, to say these psukim. Just like we have a command to what? To say the psukim of Zachor. We have a command in the Torah, Asher tziva Hashem has commanded you, not just Aaron and Moshe to tell Klal Yisrael about Parah Aduma. No, there's a mitzvah. This Shabbos is a mitzvah d'oraisa, lemor, to read these 22 psukim. Parshas Parah. Shafilu b'zman hazeh she'ein lanu bayis. Lasos Parah Kisikuna. Nowadays we don't have a base of Mekdash. We don't have the Parah Aduma ashes, unfortunately. Tzarech Likros HaParsha. We need to what? Still read the Parsha of Parah. Uneshalma Farim Sifasenu. Very literally, like it says in Hosea, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will what? Will accept the, it'll be like Parim, the offerings of our lips. By reading about it, by remembering it, by saying it, in some ways it will be as if we are doing it. V'tiyeh amiras haparshios b'makom asiyas hapara, that the saying of these parshios will be like making a parah duma, and that's what it means, asher tziva Hashem lemor. That's what it means, lemor. Hashem is commanding you to what? By saying it, by talking about it, in a small sense, it'll be as if what? It'll be as if you're doing it. In some small sense, it'll be as if you're bringing the parah duma. Okay? And that's a very holy thing. That's a very chashuv thing. We want to purify ourselves as we get ready to head into Chodesh Nisan, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, to get back to the beginning of the calendar year. It's a very, very chashuv thing. Okay, good. I'm having like girsa issues again. Some of the words are not exactly the same. Oh no, yeah, it is. Vezeh Olim. Okay, good, fine. Now, Vayikhu Eilecha. I apologize. Vayikhu Eilecha. Right, continuing again in the edition that I'm using, it's broken up into a different passage. It's a different little piece. Okay, v'yikhu elecha. You should take for yourself a para aduma tmima. V'yikhu elecha. Perish Rashi. Rashi explains, kol haparos nikros al shem Moshe. V'yikhu elecha Moshe. You should take the para to you. Says Rashi. We see from here that all future paros, it's as if they've been taken by Moshe. Every para adum in history, and there have been nine in history, is connected to Moshe Rabbeinu. Nira haremez ki mitzvah srichos kavana. See, one of the funny things about para aduma is that when you do a mitzvah, you need to understand the mitzvah. But para aduma is the ultimate chok. Zos chukas haTorah. It's the ultimate law that we don't understand. It makes some people pure, makes other people impure. The nations of the world, the Satan makes fun of us, Rashi says in Parshas Chukas. It's such a backwards mitzvah. So here, on the one hand, we're doing something and highlighting the fact that it's okay for us not to understand mitzvos. At the same time, we have a rule, a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, that mitzvos srichos kavana. So I don't. How am I supposed to do the paraduma? Something I don't even understand. Va'amru lecha ani megale tama shel para v'lahem chuka. But the Medrash tells us, lecha, to you, Moshe Rabbeinu, I am revealing the secret of the para. V'lahem chuka, period. But to the Jewish people, it will remain a chok. Moshe Rabbeinu was the only one in history who understood the secret of para aduma. Shlomo HaMelech admits that he cannot understand para aduma. Shlomo says, Amarti ech kama, I said I want to be wise. V'hi rechoka mimeni, but it's beyond me. I couldn't figure it out. What's that a reference to? It's a reference to the para aduma. He couldn't figure out the para aduma. He wanted to. Only Moshe Rabbeinu understood it. Lecha ani magal letaima. To you, I'm giving the explanation. But lehem chuka. But for Klal Yisrael, it remains a chuk. So now, lezeh tzrichin lasos apara al das v'kavanas Moshe Rabbeinu olav shalom. So now we understand, why does every para have to be done, so to speak, v'yikhu elecha, in accordance, kedas Moshe, in accordance with the understanding of Moshe. Because on the one hand, I need to tap into Moshe's understanding of para, because when you do a mitzvah, you need to understand what you're doing. At the same time, para aduma is the paradigm of not understanding mitzvos and doing it because it's a chok. Ulekach kol haparos nikros al shemo. So we strike that balance that all of the paros in history, v'yikhu elecha, are connected to Moshe Rabbeinu. And by being connected to Moshe Rabbeinu, right, it's as if we, understand it through Moshe Rabbeinu, even though we don't really understand it. So it's a very nice balance of what? Of on the one hand, having the das that all mitzvos require, and at the same time, having the sort of surrender that we don't have to understand anything. And Moshe Rabbeinu understood it, and that's enough for us. And all the paros in history are connected back to him. Okay. Chavi, this next little paragraph is a really important one, so pay attention. Jump in. If you're a little spaced out, jump back in right now. What does it say about the para aduma? Here's a really important mussar. It says the para aduma is tamima. The para aduma is tamima. It's aduma tamima. It's perfectly red. Completely red. Totally red. Asher ein bamum. It doesn't have a blemish. Asher lo ala aleha ol. And it has not ever worn a yoke. It has not been used as a work animal. Explains the Kajet Ser Magid. Asher ein bamum. If you think that you are tamima, you think you're perfect. You think, I don't need to work on myself. I don't need to work on myself. Now, of course, no one actually thinks that. None of us actually believe that. But sometimes we act as if we believe that. What I mean, we act as if we believe that? Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol nehiya bidvaro.
Amen.
Chaim. So, Chaim, sometimes we act as if we're, we're perfect. What I mean, we act as if we're perfect? If we're not working on ourselves, if we're not actively trying to improve ourselves, if I'm okay with the status quo of my davening, so even if I'm not, even if you ask me, how's your davening going? Oh, I could do so much better in davening. I could do so much better in davening. So you'll admit that. Okay. But if I didn't ask you, you wouldn't have stopped to think about it. So even though you're not a huge Baal Gaiva, you don't walk around thinking, oh, I'm the greatest davener in the world. If I ask you point blank, you'll say, you know what, there's a lot of room to improve in my davening. There's room to improve. I have a bad midah. I get jealous very easily. Right? But I'm not really working on it. So if someone asks me, Nu, you jealous? Yeah, it's something I need to work on. But why weren't you working on it before I asked you that question? Or a person has an anger problem. Or a person is struggling with Shmiras Yanayim. Or a person is not learning Torah with amelus, you know, with strength, with energy. So if a person's not actively working on himself, he's implying to the world, even if you were to ask him, you think you're perfect? I don't think I'm perfect. What, are you crazy? Of course I'm not perfect. I have a lot to work on. But the fact that you're not acting in trying to improve yourself, a little bit you're saying, I'm good. Right? You're not saying I'm perfect. You're not declaring I'm perfect. But in a sense, your actions and the choices you're making or not making is saying that I'm Tamima. I am Tamima. I am perfect. So explains the Kaddish Yisro Magid, the Para Aduma Tamima Asher Ein Ba Mum Asher Lo Ala Ala Ol means the following. Asher Ein Ba Mum. If you think that you are unblemished, if you think there's nothing for you to work on, Shemi Shemachzik Atzmo Litzadik Shetiken Akol. If you think, I don't have so much to work on, I've perfected myself, I've got it all worked out, ain bo mum, I don't have any shortcomings, bevadai, listen to this, what's the next part of the pasuk? The paraduma that doesn't have a blemish and never wore a yoke, says the Kaddish Yisro Magid, it's a stark musar. If you think you don't have a blemish, that's the biggest sign that you've never even worn the yoke of Torah. You've never even makabel upon yourself ol malchus shemayim. Bevada ish kazeh. If you're so confident that you're doing so great, hushalo ala alav ol. You haven't even worn the yoke of Torah. You haven't even begun the avoda. Vizehu, and that's what the pasuk says. What do you do with the paraduma? The paraduma that thinks it's tamima, that thinks ain bamum, that thinks it doesn't have more to do, when really lo ala aleha ol, it hasn't even begun its avoda. Unasatim oso el Elazar HaKohen. You give it to Elazar HaKohen. The Kohanim, of course, are the teachers of Klal Yisrael. And what does he do? V'hotzi oso el michutz lamachana. He takes the para aduma outside of the camp. What does that mean? Ratzalomar. Shitzarech ha'oved es Hashem. Shiyera'e lo shu adayin b'chutz. V'lo hischil ba'avodas Hashem klal. You go to a Rebbe, you go to a Kohen, and you say, Rebbe, you know what? I've become a little bit too passive, my avodas Hashem. I've convinced myself that I'm doing fine, when really, I have a lot of room to grow. So the Rebbe helps you, because he loves you. He helps you to realize, that's right, you're mamish bachutz. You haven't even entered in yet. You haven't even stepped in the base medrash yet. You haven't even started yet. To remind yourself that I'm a dayan bachutz, I'm still an outsider, v'lo hischil b'avodas Hashem klal. And I have not even begun my service of avodas Hashem. There's a lot more for me to do, and there's a lot of room to grow. So God forbid, don't fall into that trap. Don't spend your life thinking, yeah, ain bom bom, I don't have any. Be self-reflective, be honest. Look yourself in the mirror and acknowledge the fact that there's a lot of things that we all need to work on, and work on it. Work on it and become a better person for it. Okay. Have I drop more? We'll do just a drop more. We're running out of time here. But let's just do a drop more. This is a nice one. Let's come back to this one. Oh, Yomar, perhaps we could say, another pshat. The Kohen takes the blood and the Kohen sprinkles the blood. So look what he says. You remember the famous piece that we learned in Parshas Vayishlach? How really the Yetzirah is your best friend. How the Yetzirah is really on your team. And the Yetzirah is challenging you. And when Yaakov beat the Yetzirah, if you remember, we learned in Parshas Vayishlach, the Yetzirah, the Satan says, ah, now my time to sing Shira has come. A malach sings Shira when it finishes its mission. But yes, that is the mission. The mission of Yetzirah is to lose to you. He wants to lose to you. He's really on your team. So explains the Kaddish Yisro Magid in a similar fashion. O Yeyamer, perhaps you could explain. Sha'atzadik yar'eh shekol admimus ha'yetzirah hu'tzorech gevoa v'naschas ruach lefnei Hashem shemashpil ha'yetzirah u'bocher ba'Hashem echad. The para aduma, very interesting. Para, it's not a par. If you look in the Ramban in this week's Parsha, the Ramban says, everything about para aduma, you would think it's not so holy. It's para, It's Nekeva. Nekeva is associated with Midas Adin. It's Aduma. It's red. Red is certainly not a color we associate with holiness and purity. Right? There's a lot of elements. The Ramban goes through them and says, it's surprising that the Parah Aduma has this ability to bring such Tara, since it's rooted in certain concepts which are very much connected to Midas Adin, connected to maybe the darker side of Jewish life. But you know what the tzaddik is able to see? The tzaddik is able to recognize shekol admimus hayitzahara, all of the redness of the era, all of the seduction, right? All of the evil temptations of the yitzahara, hu tzorech gavoa. It's all what? For the service of Hashem. V'chas ruach lifnei Hashem. It's all to give honor to Hashem, to make Hashem proud. In what? Shemashpil asei yitzahara, u'bocher b'Hashem echad. By rejecting the Yetzirah and choosing the one true God, so that the role of Yetzirah. The Yetzirah is there to tempt you, but he wants to lose. Melech mavur bizar kadosh. Like the famous mashal of the Beis Haymem, stands for Ben HaMelech. The son of the king, the prince, you remember the mashal from the Tzar? The king wants to test his son to see if he has a strong moral compass, and he hires a prostitute to try to seduce him. And the king doesn't want his son to give in, but he's testing him. And if the son doesn't give in, then everyone's happy. The Zona's happy because she's, you know, her job is to seduce the prince, but she also works for the king. She doesn't want that the son should give in, right? The king says, "I'll give you a greater reward if my son doesn't give in." So the Yetzirah looks like he's our biggest enemy, but he's really our best friend in disguise. He gives us opportunities to what? To conquer him and to give great pleasure to Hashem, to give nachas ruach to Hashem. Vizeh peirash hakasav, and if you remember, Chevra, back in Vayishlach, we learned this. That's the pshat in the pasuk in Megillas Esther, when Haman says such a good vart, "Lemi yachpo tamelech laasos yakar ugedula yosur mimeni." When Haman says, "Who does the king want to give honor to more than me?" What is Haman saying to us? What's a lomar? Shahaman hu shoresh yitzhara. Haman is just synonymous with yitzhara. V'leze amar shekol maaseh hamitzos hu ba mimeni. The Yetzirah therefore says that all of the mitzvot that take place come from me. Because it's dafka she'ani meisis la'aveira, I tempt the Jews to do sins, v'hu mizgaber, and when a Jew makes a good choice, ve'ina osa, u'machmazeh u'godol haschar. And because of that, the reward is great. So Haman says, if not, right, again, Haman says to God, I brought Klal Yisrael to tshuva by trying to kill them. So your Yetzirah also says, Hashem, I brought, you know, all the schar to Klal Yisrael by tempting them, and they overcame my temptations to earn that schar. V'zeh peirash ha-pasuk. So now we understand the pasuk. V'lakach Elazar ha-kohen midama. Elazar ha-kohen takes what? Elazar, first of all, the name Elazar, you can see Kel Azar, right? Hashem should assist us. V'lakach Elazar ha-kohen midama. The tzaddik. Elazar, again, the kohen is the tzaddik. The Rebbe, the tzaddik, right? The Jew who's trying to make himself a tzaddik. Sha'tzaddik yara lahem. She'kol admimos hayetzahara. She'miyape kol hachamados vataivos. Hu k'dei she'yizgaver alav v'yel lo schar. That all of, v'lakach Elazar ha-kohen midama. The Elazar ha-kohen takes the blood of the paraduma. He takes the blood. The blood is the nefesh. He takes the essence of the yetzahara. And he displays it before Klal Yisrael. Right? In other words, the tzaddik is the one who teaches a Jew who thinks that the Yetzirah is so annoying, he's destroying me. No! He shows you that the blood of the what? The blood of the paraduma. What's the next part of the pasuk? V'hiza, he sprinkles it, l'nochach p'nei ol moed. He shows the Jew, she'yar elahem sha'kol tzorech gavoa. He takes that bright red blood of that bright red para, that para aduma, Para, like the Ramban says, Lashon Nekeva, Midas Hadin, he takes something which looks like such a setback, and he shows what? He sprinkles it, L'nochach p'nei ol moed. He says, if you learn how to use your Yetzirah in the right way, what will you learn? You'll learn that what? You'll learn that your Yetzirah is actually on your team. The Yetzirah is your best friend, and is able to help a person to achieve greatness in this world. Okay, Chaver, last but not least, one final piece. Pasuk says, Zos HaTorah Adam Ki Yamas Ba'ol. It says in Parshas Para, of course, Zos HaTorah, this is the rule, this is the halacha, Adam Ki Yamas Ba'ol. If a person dies in a tent, so anyone who's under that roof becomes Tamei Meis. Right? That's the rule. Tumas Oel. If you're under the same roof as a dead body, you become tamei. But everyone knows the Gemara has a famous interpretation of Adam ki yamas ba'ohel. What is the ohel? The ohel, of course, means Yaakov ishtam yoshev ohelim, the tent of Torah. So the Gemara explains, Nira lefarish al derech de'isa b'gemara. The Gemara says, Ein ha-Torah miskayemes el b'mi shememes atzmo aleha. The Torah only exists, it only lasts, by a person who what? Who kills himself over it. If you want to have success, Adam zos ha-Torah, you want to be successful in Torah, the Gemara says in Brachos, Daf Samach Gimel, Adam ki yamus ba'oel. Kill yourself over Torah. Nu, what's the typical way that you've heard this Maamar Chazal? I'm sure you heard Moser Shmuz Shana Aleph, either from your Rebbe, or from the Mashkiach, or from the Rosh Yeshiva, right? Teaching you, this is why we need to have, you know, you're feeling totally burnt out a month into Shana Aleph. Yeah, and they say, guys, don't you understand? Zos ha-Torah Adam ki yamus ba'oel. If you want to have success in Torah, you got to kill yourself over Torah. Yes, it's hard work. And you got to shteig, and you got to push yourself, and you got to stay up late in the base medrash, and you got to work hard. And that's all true. That's all true. That's level one interpretation of the Gemara. That the Torah lasts by a person who kills himself over it. In other words, he works hard for Torah. He doesn't sit back and take it easy, but he leans into his Gemara and he works hard to try to understand the sugya. But says the Kajetzer Magid, what else does it mean to kill yourself over Torah? And it goes back to something we mentioned earlier. It means get out of the way. Get out of your own way. Ratzalomar, that is to say, Shememis koach atzmuso. Stop thinking, or remind yourself, maybe is a better way to say it, that your own strength is not going to be enough to get the job done. It's only with Rachmei Shemayim that you're going to have any success in this world. I'm not just talking about the way that we all know, well, if Hashem, you know, helps me, then I'll have success in my parnasa. I'll get the good job. I'll get the good shidduch. I'll get the good this or the good that. Right? No. In spirituality, the same thing is also true. Like we learned a couple weeks ago, when we were talking about how the avoda of Purim is to what? Is to become that loudspeaker that Hashem projects His message through. That you are Hashem's megaphone. That Hashem, make myself a kli, through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the Kenwad, can then give me the opportunity to serve as His mouthpiece. Ratzalomer Shemei Miskoach Atzmuso. Destroy yourself, the Koach of Atzmius, the Koach of self. Va'omer Sha'akol Hu Me'es HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Realize that whatever I have is from Hashem. Walk around saying thank you Hashem all day. You know? It's not a small thing, that thank you Hashem movement. It's a big thing. To be a person who lives with an awareness that anything I have, the fact that I have this chus right now to be learning Avodas Yisrael, is not something we're doing for Hashem, it's something Hashem is doing for us. What a gift. Ki hu nosein lecha koach lasos chayil. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you the strength to do anything at all. V'hu anosein seichel ubino la'avdo. The fact that your brain is working right now, the fact that you have the ability. So you think, Hashem, I'm taking my brain, my koach, my energy, and I'm giving it to you. No. The fact that Hashem is allowing us to learn Torah right now is a gift that Hashem is giving us. So when we finish learning Torah, we don't get up and say, now I did for you, Hashem, now I need some time for myself. The opposite. Hashem has been giving us a gift, so now I want to pay back. And that's mitzvah goreres mitzvah. That's schar mitzvah mitzvah. Understanding that the reward of a mitzvah is the mitzvah itself. What is chus to do a mitzvah? V'zeu adam ki yamas ba'oel. So that's what it means. Kill yourself over Torah means what? D'hainu she'ena osa mikoach adam. Kill yourself over Torah. It's not about you. It's not about yourself. Don't take credit for the Torah, for the success you have in Avodas Hashem. Maintain that humility, which is so much what the Paraduma represents, so much what Moshe Rabbeinu, what Torah itself represents. She'eino osa mikoach adam, rak yodeya sha'akol ba me'ez HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'oel Hashem. Sorry, me'ez HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to recognize that everything comes from Hashem, and when you do that, he says, Hu ba'ol Hashem. Adam ki yamus. If you kill yourself, ba'ol. If you remove that sense of self, that's the greatest way to step into Hashem's world. Hu ba'ol Hashem. That person is in Hashem's tent. V'chol asher ba'ol yitma shivas yamim. So now how do you fit it into the last line of the pasuk? That when a person dies in the tent, so anything in the tent becomes tamei for 7 days. What does that mean? You would think Tameh is the opposite of what we just achieved. We just described a person who surrendered to Hashem and entered into Hashem's space. So what does it mean? V'chol asher ba'ol yitma shiva sayamim. That anything in the tent will become Tameh for 7 days. What type of Tameh? Ratzalomar. Ki ha'adam shemachzik atzmo letzadik v'ovei Hashem. Ki ilu hu achla Hashem. When a person serves Hashem in this way, the recognition that all that I have is from Hashem, v'zeu asher ba'ol yitma shivas yamim. Ratzalomar shivas hamidos v'tzarech letaknam. Yitma shivas hayamim, he's saying, if you think, right, if you think that it's you, so then you have to be metakin 7 days. 7 days corresponds to the seven midos of a person. But a adam ki yamos ba'ol, but a person who kills himself and a person who, you know, surrenders himself to Hashem, so then such a person is ba'ol, then he is in the ol. But if he's kol asher ba'ol, but if he thinks that, you know, he thinks it's him, he thinks a little bit too much that it's him, so then he needs to be metakin his seven midos. But again, it's a theme we've seen a bunch of times in the Kaddish Yetzer Maggid, to realize that whatever we have, even the things we think we're giving to Hashem, is Hashem giving to us. Okay, so Chavar, we learned a lot of things today. We learned about the first and second luchos, corresponding to that first moment of seclusion, which is somewhat public at a wedding, followed by a life of privacy. We learned about Chanosi Asher Achon, right, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has an Otzer Matnas Chinam, and for a Jew who can't earn it on his own, Hashem will lend him Ruchnias, and then be kind enough to even pay him for it. We learned a source that Parah Aduma is Daraisa, Vayedaber Hashem, right? El Moshe Vel Aaron, Zos Chukas Torah, Shartiv Hashem Leimor. You should say these psukim as we will this Shabbos and get the mitzvah Daraisa Parah, which we'll learn about in the Sugya today in a few minutes from now. And then we learned how Vayikru Elecha, how every Parah Aduma has to be connected back to Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu is the only one who understood Parah. So we have to grapple with understanding and not understanding at the same time. We learned the very strong mussar of not thinking asher ein bo mum. If you think there's nothing wrong with you, then lo ala alea ol. That's a sign you're not even engaged in avodas Hashem. You're not wearing the yoke of ol machus shemayim. And we learned how the Yetzahara, if we see him in the right way, brings us penei ol moed. Right, the blood of the para actually brings us before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And last but not least, we reminded ourselves again that zos haTorah, if you want to have success in Torah, realize it's not from you. Adam ki yamos, if you're willing to get out of the way and to say, thank you Hashem for all that you've given me, then ba'ohel, then you're in Hashem's tent. And if God forbid you think it's too much your own success, so then you've got a lot of work to do. All right. It's an action-packed Shabbos.